listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Punching Order. We like to think of ourselves as rational creatures. It can be jarring to realize that we sometimes allow the more primitive parts of our brain to take over, or as I call it, let the chimp get his hands on the controls. It's never pleasant to be reminded that no matter how rational and sophisticated we may think ourselves to be, we are still in a very real sense hierarchical primates. One way we are reminded of this happens sometimes in martial arts training, specifically in the various forms of sparring. I had a regular sparring partner in the late 1970s, whom I will call Q, who was quite a good training partner for me. I came to notice over time, however, that Q could become very rough, occasionally abusive, with other training partners. At first, it escaped me why Q, an otherwise intelligent and pleasant fellow, occasionally turned into this monster with others, but never with me. Over time, I figured it out. When Q was sparring with someone whom he considered to be a less skilled fighter than him, and then that other guy scored cleanly on him, that's when he morphed into a vindictive asshole. His eyes would go cold as he said, "Good shot," through gritted teeth, before ratcheting the intensity of his sparring way up. He would kick and punch the poor fellow mercilessly until it became clear to everyone involved or observing that the scoring shot that Q took earlier from his poor opponent was an anomaly, and not to be repeated. I grew to refer to Q as having a list in his head. The list contained the names of those sparring partners from whom he would tolerate scoring shots. I must have been on the list because I scored regularly on Q without adverse reaction from him. If you weren't on the list and were foolish enough to spar with and then score on Q, you were in for a beating. Over time, as some of our training partners improved, they might be so fortunate as to be promoted to Q's list. For this and other reasons in my own arrogance, I used to think of myself as a better training partner than Q. I might have been partly right, but I came to realize one day that I, too, had a list. On that day, I was sparring with a different training partner when I suddenly saw fear in his eyes before he stopped and said to me, "Hey, I'm sorry." I was confused by this. "Sorry for what?" I asked. "I thought I might have pissed you off with that last kick," he offered. As I assessed the last 30 seconds of our sparring session, I remembered that he had scored on me with a body kick. I was not mad at him, but I was irritated with myself for letting the kick get through. That irritation must have shown on my face and was misinterpreted by my partner as being directed at him. I had not quite pulled a cue, but I was still alarmed at my reaction. Part of the reason I was irritated at myself for letting the kick get through my defenses was that I hadn't thought this particular sparring partner was capable of scoring on me in that way. I had made the classic mistake of underestimating an opponent. Would I have reacted the same way if Q had landed the kick on me? I realized to my horror that the answer was probably not. In addition, my partner was not able to tell that my obvious irritation was not directed at him. This caused him to fear for his safety. While I hadn't reacted as badly as Q might have, I still had done something that was at the very least uncool. I had indeed, if only for the briefest of moments, allowed the chimp to get his hands on the controls. I turned to my sparring partner and said, "You have absolutely nothing to apologize for. As a matter of fact, if you see that opening again, or any other opening, I would consider it a personal favor if you nailed me there. Whatever emotion you may have seen on my face was directed at myself, not at you." I tried to be more alert to such behavior on my part after this as well. Despite the level of civilization we have achieved, our brains still carry much of the baggage that comes with having evolved from primates that spent millions of generations living in social groups called dominance hierarchies. As a result, much of our thinking is unfortunately still strongly affected by what we perceive as our status within a group. Let's go back a few million years. One of the reasons that humans are such a successful species is that we developed to a high degree the ability to live and work as a group. A group of smart primates working together can overcome challenges from the environment far better than can individuals or couples with children. There are, however, also negative consequences from having evolved in a dominance hierarchy this way, especially in the modern world. One of these consequences is a deeply ingrained awareness, even obsession, with one's own status within the group. Extensive study of social primates reveals that those individuals with higher status get more food and better food, and also more access to desirable sexual partners. Thus, anything that might reduce your status within the group is perceived as a threat. That feeling is so inbred in humans that it's most likely an instinct, even to this day. This means it's natural to have a negative reaction when someone who you think of as having lower, quote, status, unquote, than you, scores on you in sparring. The more primitive parts of your brain quickly identify this as a threat. Few things are as dangerous as an animal that feels threatened. Just because this reaction is natural, though, doesn't mean it's good, especially in modern times. German behavioral scientists observed this type of behavior among chickens in the 1920s and named it the pecking order. The pecking order is the same as Q's list, except for chickens. Where each chicken stands in the pecking order determines from which other chickens it will accept being pecked and which other chickens it can safely peck. This inspired me to name today's podcast the punching order. This type of thinking and behavior can be so ingrained that we can even allow it to lead to injury to ourselves when engaged in certain forms of martial arts sparring. In judo, it is sometimes the case that your randori, or sparring partner, is just about to throw you, and the thought, "I'm not taking a fall for this guy," causes you to do something stupid to resist him. I've seen permanent knee damage result from this type of behavior. For this very reason, a student should not be allowed to engage in randori just because he or she knows how to fall. They must be trained to be willing to fall. In submission grappling, like BJJ, sambo, or catch wrestling, you might experience the chimp-like thought, "I'm not going to tap for this guy," just long enough to get yourself badly hurt. Submission grappling should have the safest form of sparring. It's possible but difficult to slow down a scoring kick, punch, or attempted throw, but a good grappling partner will always give you time to tap. The fact that despite the existence of this time to think, some people still get hurt because they refuse to tap for someone they perceive as being of lower status speaks volumes about the primitive quirkiness of the human brain. The truth is, we probably all have a list like Q's list. A list of those that we can accept scoring on us. The difference is how we react when someone not on the list gets through our defenses. Are we pleased with the apparent progress of a previously less able training partner? Or angry at ourselves for letting it happen, perhaps resulting in subsequent behavior that leads to injury to ourselves? Or worse, so blind to this cognitive flaw that we take the anger out on a training partner who doesn't know his place? The next time you feel the need to get your opponent back when he scores on you, try to realize that he just did you a favor. He just revealed to you, under safe, controlled conditions, a possible flaw in your defenses. Thank him and recognize your original impulse for what it is, a relic from our primitive genetic past. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think. Or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Marshall Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.